This week we have a special guest speaker, and it's Brian Thompson. Brian was a man that I've got to know over the years through various schooling and ministry things, but when we had our grand opening 9.5 years ago, Brian was the guest speaker. And so it's nice 9.5 years later. That's not a significant date, but it is because you're here. Brian is going to come and share with us what God has been doing. The Lord has been doing amazing things for this man. His biography is on the handout sheet that we sent out to you today, but God is really just using what they are doing to help orphans, to plant churches, and to transform nations around the world. Brian, will you come and share about Home of Hope? And then,
thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Why don't you just look at that neighbor next to you and give them the best smile you can do. Hallelujah. It's very good. Some very good smiles. Yesterday we had a little seminar in the afternoon, and we talked about how Jesus told us to go into all the world and tell people to spread the good news. And that's one of the things that I love doing for about the last, 30 years. I've been traveling around the world and taking teams. And we have a slide there of 15 countries that our church operates in. And we are one church, a little different. We're not a denomination. We are one church, but we're in 116 different locations. And we're starting a new church average every week and almost in a new country every month. So I'm busy and I'm trying my best to do what Jesus told me to do. You see any of those countries that would interest you, we lead out teams. Pastor Steve's been with me, and Brian and his wife have been there, and we encourage people to follow Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus. 9 years ago, the Lord really changed my heart. I went to a place called Rwanda, and it was the number one orphan need in the world. And, you know, you see desperate children on the TV. It never moved me at all. But when you see a starving child right in front of you, it just literally changed my life. And we started sponsoring 4 children in Rwanda 9.5 years ago. I didn't know what I was getting into. I was just came home and told some friends, and they said, "Brian, you're changed." I started crying almost every day. Couldn't believe it. My wife is going, "What is wrong with you?" Because I was this big, tough farm boy before that. But then I turned into this soft marshmallow. The Bible says that God puts his love inside us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit changed my life. And I just started talking about orphans everywhere I went. And it came down what God told me once to believe to help 10,000 children. That was about, I think, six years ago. And now we have a little graph. We're in Africa and India. Those are kind of our main countries where we're helping children. But we started with 4 children 9 years ago, and now we're helping 9,500 children. Isn't that amazing? How just God's just blowing on it, and I just get opportunities like this to share. If you're interested in participating and sponsoring a child or going, one of the promises God gave me, you know, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible where God promises to do something if we do the condition before it. And this promise God gave me in Proverbs chapter 28:27 when I started helping children. Bible says, whoever cares or whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing. Another translation sounds something like this: take care of the poor and God will take care of you. And it's like God spoke to me that, "Brian, help these orphans and I'm going to take care of you. You help those children over there, I'll take care of your children." I mean, that's a good idea. And I just found out that God is a God that keeps his promises. It's impossible for him to lie. And we stepped out in faith, and God's been taking care of me. It's wonderful. You even see my picture of my family on that paper. What a good-looking family. I know you don't think this guy is old enough to have 8 grandchildren. Hallelujah. But they're all, I got 4 kids. They're all married. They went to Bible college. It's called Bridal College in our church. Bridal College. They all married someone they went to Bible college with, and they're all serving Jesus. And my oldest daughter just went on the last mission trip with me. They've all been on mission trips with me. And she was over there with me teaching and training. But she said, "Dad, don't put me on the pulpit too much. I want to just hug those orphans. I want to walk and go inside the mud huts and just see where people live and share the love of Jesus." One of the ways we're helping 9,500 children is we're feeding over 4,000 children. When you go to, we have 25 projects in Rwanda, and we start a new project. We find the 100 most desperate children within a 15-mile walk. A lot of the kids walk up to 15 miles to come and get some food. feeding program. And if you're interested in helping, this is one of our present needs right now, because in Alberta, I don't know if you've heard about Alberta, we've been going through a hard time in Alberta. 100,000 jobs were lost with our premier that changed. I didn't say that with an attitude, did I? Our wonderful premier that we pray for, you know, said that oil companies are ruining the environment, and, you know, 100,000 people lost their jobs, plus tens of thousands of more that had their hours cut and their wages cut just to keep their job. So it's really helped. It's hindered our sponsorship. And if you're interested in sponsoring a child monthly or helping with the feeding program, those are some of the needs we have. Matthew chapter 25 is a popular verse that many Christians know. Can I just read it to you? For Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. You know, that's one of the things we're called to do, is feed people that are starving and hungry. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. What you do for the least, you do for me. I was just reading that the other day and I just started tearing up, thinking, God, I'm trying my best to do that. We're taking in orphans that have no mother and no father. How you doing? Good to see you. We have no father, no mother, abandoned children. One of the little children that's on the back, that if you're interested in sponsoring, he was abandoned by his own mother, left in this little shack, like a little doghouse, left to die with his umbilical cord still attached, just left to die there. Someone heard the little baby whimpering and brought him to our dream center in Nairobi, Kenya. And just, we're rescuing people, we're doing what Jesus told us to do. We love Jesus, and we do what he tells us to do. And you get addicted. I got bit by some bug, and I'm addicted now. You know, when I was in Congo, which we have 38 projects in Congo, Congo is such an evil place. You search the internet for the best place to live in the world, you're going to come up with Norway and Canada, usually in the top. You search the worst place to live, Congo is usually right there, one of the top. And I'm going through Congo, and we were driving along, and in the ditch was some big tire tracks. Somebody just went in the ditch and was driving. And this little boy was using a little water bottle, scooping up this brown water that was in the track of the tire track at the ditch. And I just put my hand on the dash and say, stop the vehicle. The driver kept going because he didn't speak English. Stop. Somebody translate. Stop, please. Back up. And I, you know, this little boy was there. And God spoke to me this Bible verse. 1 John 3:17. Tremendous verse that just kind of gripped my heart. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? And as I saw that little boy scooping up that water, that just hit me. How can we just kind of keep driving by and do nothing? And I said, give me every water bottle that's in the van. We had a bigger one that kind of filled up the smaller bottles for our team. And we just loaded this kid because he was in the middle of nowhere. And gave him as much water as we can. And God used that verse to change my heart. I just don't want to drive by anything else anymore the rest of my life. I want to see what I can do to help. And some people ask, what do we do with these kids that are abandoned and thrown away live in the garbage that we're rescuing? We bring them to health because a lot of them are in malnutrition. One little boy, he couldn't walk till he was about 4 just because of malnutrition. Others, the parents find out their child is handicapped, so they take him into the big garbage dump and throw him away. We help these children come to health, and then we place them into homes like foster. But some kids, we started a home of hope, where we put 8 orphans into a family. The Bible says in Psalms 68, it says, God finds solitary children and puts them into families. So we're putting together families. And there's a slide here of a lady named Evelyn that's been with us right from the start in Nairobi. And she's saying, Brian, I want to take these 8 kids and I want to live with them and be a mother to them. And she's getting married in about 6 months. And we're needing $3,000 for the furniture, just to buy the beds and the furniture and the stoves. And we even like giving them a washing machine. I mean, don't want to do all those washing by hand. And then $300 a month for rent and utilities. And this lady works really hard. $300 a month for a salary is very reasonable anywhere in the world. And those are some of the present needs that we have. Our feeding program is suffering a little bit with the Alberta economy. And we want to help put these kids into long-term family units. And if you're interested in sponsoring, we have a wonderful table at the back there. And Pastor Steve and his team was a D that put together a nice little Home of Hope paper at the back there. And we just want to invite you to partner with us. And some of you might want to sponsor a child and then go visit that child sometime in the future, you can come on teams with us. God bless you, Pastor Steve. Don't you love your pastor? Isn't he the great guy? Love. Every year in October, we go to Palm Desert for a pastor's retreat. Play some tennis and sit in a hot tub, and he's a very good golfer. And we're going to do something we've never done before this October. We're going to go rent some Harleys and go riding. Harley, 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 Harley. You pray for your dad. He was showing me, he's got the big coat now with the shoulder pads and those big boots, and he's turning into a bike. It's not midlife crisis, it's midlife fun. Hallelujah. You know, we have a saying in our church, love God, love people, and love life. Amen. Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. I think the smilingest people in the world should be born again Christians. Amen. I think the best marriages. Did you guys just get married too or something? Oh, 2 years. You guys look like you're in love. Look at this. They're holding hands and thought, man, you're really glad to have her home. Maybe that's it. I think the best marriages should be Bible-believing, born-again, talking Christians that love Jesus and read their Bible every day. I think that's just what I expected. Can you put the picture up of my wife? You know, I'm coming up to 37 years of marriage. Look at this woman. I tell you, Look at that. You know, you serve God. Any of you singles, you serve God. God will give you, the Bible says he'll give you, his will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. You should claim, every single, you should write that verse down, Romans chapter 12, or yeah, 12 verse 2, God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Thank you, Lord. I was 16 years old when I gave my life to Jesus, and I told my best friend, on Monday morning in grade 11, that I got down on my knees last night and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and wash away my sins. My best friend laughed at me. What? You got down on your knees and asked Jesus into your life? Went into the hallway at 8:55 before school, and all the big football player best jocks are lining up on the lockers and tripping people, the little kids as they go by. Said, guys, you got to come in and hear this. Brian's got something to tell us, and he brought 20 people in. I'm going, Richard, what are you doing, you jerk? Go ahead, Brian, tell them what you did last night. I was just speechless, and I was almost ready to deny Christ and... But then the bell rang. I was literally saved by the bell, the buzzer of the school. I was just shocked and stunned. I didn't know him. And he ended up telling them that Brian got down on his knees. Then in shop class, the teacher had to leave for a few minutes. And Richard brought all the people, all the shop areas, into where I was in the drafting area. He said, come on, preacher Brian, give us a sermon. And I'm like, I didn't do anything except tell one person. I said, well, last night at the Bible study I was at, they talked about this great big hole in the ground called a bottomless pit. Guy said, what's a bottomless pit? I go, I don't know. It's bottomless. And out of the bottomless pit came these creatures that were as big as helicopters, and they went around and they stung people that didn't give their lives to Jesus, and people are like this. Someone said, the teacher, the teacher's coming back. There was one guy watching. They all go back in. And we started, to finish the story, these guys kind of persecuted me a bit. And I'm a farm boy. We brought our lunch to school. They wouldn't let me eat lunch with them anymore. So they told, go somewhere else. And I went to this little private, classroom. And I'm eating my lunch all by myself for about 2 weeks. I thought, man, what is this? I was so shocked. Then one guy came in and said, Brian, just want to tell you, people are laughing at you, but you know what? They're listening to you, and he left. Then the next day he came, and he said, give me another one of those sermons, that bottomless pit one. It was really scary. And I started having this Bible study. One more came, and one more came, and one more came. And, this guy was dating the most beautiful girl in school, long blonde hair, and he had a license, and he put his hand around this girlfriend, and they were driving around the school, spinning the tires. You know what they do. And just showing off their blue car and their beautiful, beautiful blonde girlfriend. Well, that guy gave his life to Jesus, and he broke up with that girl, and she fell in love with me. It pays to share Jesus with people. Connie gave her life to Jesus. She became the best youth worker with me, helping young people. And we fell in love, got married when we were 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been holding hands and having fun ever since serving Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? Boy, that was a real rabbit trail. Where did that come from? Today, I want to talk to you about living the God lifestyle as the first priority of your life. And I love promises. Here's another promise in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6:33. And I encourage, this is for every one of us. Maybe you're a first-time guest. Maybe you're not used to going to church. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. This promise is for everyone in this room. Listen to this. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, if we seek first the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously, he will give you everything you need. I have served Jesus for 40 years now, and I can testify God keeps his promises. All the promises in the book are mine. Some of you guys know that one? Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book. There we go, some of you people that have been around. Jesus himself, the greatest person that ever walked this planet, God so loved the world, he sent Jesus. This Jesus said this, if we seek his kingdom first, he will give us everything we need. Wow, isn't that good? Let me back up a couple of verses before it. In verse 25, it says, Jesus said, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, don't worry about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away their food into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds the birds. You're much more valuable than birds to God. One of the things my wife and I love doing, I ask her, you know, I want to be a good husband. What do you want to do? She goes, I'd like a cruise. And I go, I said, Connie, I'm a poor preacher. She said, no, I know. I heard you last Sunday. So I rebuked the unbelief in my heart, and I learned something. Years ago, anything you're believing God for, cut it out, put it on the fridge. And pray together. If two pray together and agree, the Bible says anything can happen. And I cut the picture of a cruise ship out. I said, man, if my wife wants a cruise, she's been so faithful to me, I'm going to believe for a cruise. Then someone told me they need chaplains on cruises, Greg. I applied with Norwegian Cruise Lines. And I became a chaplain, and I got a whole bunch of cruises for free. Hallelujah. It's the provision of God. I think I've taken on my wife on at least 10 cruises now, and all I have to do is lead a couple Bible studies, and I can lead people to Jesus on the cruise ships, and she can suntan in her bikini and just become blonde hair and, you know, brown. I may need to come back and do another marriage course. Hallelujah. Things can get better and better and better. Let me just tell you, it doesn't have to get worse. And one of the things Connie and I love doing on these cruises and just anywhere, she said, Brian, just give me the sun anywhere. Thank you so much. So we end up going to some beaches. And thank God, you know, when you travel the world, you get something called air miles. It's wonderful. I love Air Canada and the Aeroplan point. And I take my wife on by these beaches. And this beach, we were in St. Thomas in the Caribbean on a free cruise. We're walking down the beach, just kicking the water, prayer walking, praying for our kids, holding hands, kissing each other on the beach. It's wonderful. She goes, Brian, look at that bird up there. And there was this little white bird that was kind of hovering over the water about, I don't know, 30 feet. And it was kind of, she goes, watch this, Brian. And then a few seconds later, the bird tucks its wings in and dives down into the water, grabs hold of a fish with its claws, and flies up. And she's coming. Come on, let's go, go, go. And we follow the bird up in the tree, and it starts eating this meat. The Bible says, look at the birds of the air. They do not store. They don't get a fish and put it in a refrigerator somewhere and save it for a rainy day. They're not storing up food for the apocalypse or the zombies or whatever. They don't store it away in barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds, your Heavenly Father feeds the birds, and he likes you better than the birds. you know what? That bird can have meat anytime it wants. You know, while we're Christians, we're kind of poor. We can't have a steak today. Sorry, kids. We can't have any hamburger either. We're going to just water down the soup. Tomorrow we're going to have macaroni and a little bit of ketchup. I'm sorry. If that bird can have meat anytime it wants, I have faith because I like protein. I'm a farm boy. I'm a bird of beef. Hallelujah. And I raised 400 pigs with my dad as a boy. I like bacon and eggs. A meal's not a meal if you don't have some meat on it. That's what I think. Forgive me if you're a vegetarian. I love the meat. I believe if you seek first the kingdom of God, he will give you everything you need. And he loves us more than the birds. One of my wife's favorite birds is a robin. And we can look out our house. We have a little acreage and look out. She goes, Brian, come here. She did this once. Look at the robin. And the little robin, especially on a rainy morning, the little robin's kind of walking along the grass. And it turns its head. Walks a bit more, turns its head. You know what it's doing? It's listening for worms moving underneath the ground. God gave that bird up in the air supernatural sight that it can see clearly into the water. God gives robins supernatural hearing. It can hear a worm moving. And it goes like this. And it stops. And it pulls out this long worm, this juicy worm. What are you having for lunch today? God can give you worms. If he feeds the birds worms, he can feed you. Oh, you of little faith. And that bird flew into our tree and started chewing away on the worm. Listen to me. God loves you more than the animals. He feeds the birds. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you better than the birds. If you're going through a hard time, you're having a hard time meeting the mortgage and it's got bills and you're just, the worry, you know what it's like to have worry and finances. Listen, I'm giving you a solution. God loves you more than the birds and he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Should have had Rob sing, don't worry. You better worry unless you put God first. If you put God first, the Bible says that we'd never have to worry again. Look at the next verse in 28, Matthew 6, 28. Yeah, 6, 28. And don't worry about your clothing. Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, the greatest king in that day, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as these flowers. And if God cares so wonderfully for the birds, and he cares so wonderfully for these wild flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow. Guys, you know the excuse. You know, your wife wants more flowers. But we say, they're here today and gone tomorrow. Like, what a waste of money. Not. I said, Connie, I've been buying you flowers. You know, I have a little thing called an iPhone that can put a reminder on. I buy my wife flowers at her birthday and anniversary and Valentine's. And once a month. Minimum, a little reminder comes up. Ding, ding. In fact, Monday, it's coming up. I'm going to go home. Got to buy my wife some flowers. Ding, 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 ding. Those iPhones rule my life. Ding, 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 ding. Flower, flower, flower. I said, Connie, do you want me to still get you flowers? Do you want me to get you chocolates? Or do you want me to get you a gym membership? I knew it. Or I could bless you with a new vacuum. I run everything in my family. I run the radio element, the vacuum cleaner. I run whatever she tells me to run. And she goes, Brian, I still like the flowers. I go, oh, okay. Then I found out Costco carries flowers. Hallelujah. And there's a Costco coming into town here. Steve pointed it out to me. And Connie just loves flowers. I went to Craig's house last night, and one of the first things I did to get out of the car, my wife has trained me. I went right over to the flowers and looking at the plants and all the little rock garden places, and that's my wife. She just stopped and smelled the roses, Brian. Don't get so excited about saving orphans. Smell the flowers. Kiss your wife. Give her some flowers. Have you ever just looked at flowers? I'm looking at them lots because that's what my wife does. They're beautiful. We saw tulips when I have a layover in Amsterdam, the biggest tulip fields in the world. this one area. It had 80 acres of land, and one of the flower gardens was probably as big as your auditorium here. And you climb up on a stair and look over it, and they had blue tulips for the water. It was a picture. And all the different colors, probably 15 or 20 different colors of tulips, and it painted a picture. You can see it up on top. 100,000 tulips were planted in a room this size. And there's 80 acres, and we're walking and looking at the tulips, the blue tulips, the violet tulips, tulips bigger than my hand. I thought, man, look at it. And Connie and I are stopping. I said, Jesus said, look at the flowers. I'm looking. They're gorgeous. Yet the greatest well-dressed person in all of history, probably is Solomon, didn't compare to God making the lilies and the flowers and the wildflowers, his translation says, that are here today, gone tomorrow. Jesus said, O ye of little faith. So don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. You know, God used this verse to really affect my life a couple years ago. Most people, including me, used to pray just about myself mostly. Most of my prayers were about myself, Steve. Lord, I pray this. I need this. I need that. Lord, our car's broken down. Lord, the mortgage. Lord, me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Like a choir warming up, our prayers are me, 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 me. And it just hit me. Why am I wasting time praying for my mortgage, wasting time praying for my bills, when Jesus said he already knows our needs. Listen to me. And he promises to meet all of our needs on one condition, that we put him first. Wow. Someone says, Brian, I know this. I've known this for 25 years. You know, I put God first. Yeah, I put God first. And I said, well, let me ask you a couple questions. And these are some of the questions I'm going to use as a little outline first. So if we put God first, we never have to worry about food ever again. And we never need to pray about food. You thank God for the food at Grace, but you don't need to say, oh, God, am I going to have some steak sometime this year? Never have to worry about clothes. Ladies, how many of you need another pair of shoes? I saw those hands. Someone said, how many pairs of shoes does a woman need? Just one more. I got a Bible verse, girls, that God wants you to have nice clothing and nice shoes. And you just take that and paste it on the back of your credit card. Put that Bible verse right there. If I seek first the kingdom of God, I'll never have to worry about clothes. And God's clothes are not just from Value Village or some secondhand place. Hallelujah, they're going to be like salt. Not because I covet clothes, because I serve God and he takes care of us. If we have faith and do what he tells us to do. The God-first lifestyle. Here's a verse in Colossians I just want to read. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Today, Jesus is head of it. That's why we're singing all these songs about Jesus. He's the beginning and the firstborn when he rose up from the dead after 3 days. So that in everything, Jesus might have supremacy. Jesus is number one. He needs to be he is number one in the universe, but he needs to be number one in our hearts in a practical way. How do we put God first practically? Let me give you this one. Number one, if you're taking notes. Number one, we need to put God first in our worship. Deuteronomy 6 says, love the Lord your God with half your heart, half your soul, half your mind, you know, half-hearted effort with your strength. No, God wants all. You know, I don't know if you ever proposed. No, I don't want to use your example because you guys are so much in love. let me use Jess here. How old are you? 17. You know, I asked my kids, I said, you know, Jesus, in John 8:29, it says Jesus, everything Jesus did to please his Father. I gave that verse to my kids. I said, Jesus pleased his Father. Kids, John 8:29, please your Father. You want to be like Jesus? Please your Father. If you don't have a father, find a father. Adopt him. And I said, kids, just one thing. Would you please stay away from the opposite sex till you're at least 18 and out of school? Because boys at that age are stupid, and I know. But when it's the right time. And all my kids, they went to Bible college after. They said, God, Dad, there's no rush. I'm going to wait till I'm done Bible college. Praise the Lord. They increased what I asked them. But some guy's going to come to you someday, and he's going to get down on one knee. He better. And he says, you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. I want you to be my wife. I promise to be yours 100%, 364 days a year. But one day a year, I want just for myself to do whatever I want. Would you say yes to that man? Good, good. She doesn't want his focus 364 days. Women want all of you. Woman came up to me and said, Brian, you got to help my husband. We were walking in Canadian Tire the other day, and his eyes followed a skirt. Those women want all of us. They want you 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. They want to dominate your life. Don't you never marry a guy unless he gives you 100%. Amen? Amen? Jesus is also very jealous, the Bible says. He wants all of you. He wants our heart, number one. He wants our soul, our mind, and our strength for him first. That's the God first lifestyle. Here's another one. How do we practically put God first so we can get these promises? The Bible says that we need to put God first every day. If you really seek God first, it means putting God first every day. I asked this guy that thought he was seeking God first, I said, do you have devotions and read your Bible every day? Oh, no, but I put God first. I said, well, let's make it practical. Let's put God first every day. You know what Jesus did? A great while before the sun rose, the Bible says Jesus was in the mountains praying to his Father, seeking God, having devotions every day. Here's one verse that motivated me to have devotions in the morning, Psalm 5. Oh God, my King, I will never pray to anyone but you. Each morning I will look to you in heaven and lay my request before you, praying earnestly. Getting up, reading the Bible, praying every day, giving God the first part of every day. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, then all these things will come on you. Here's another point. Putting God first means putting him first on the first day of every week. And you guys are fantastic here today. You're coming to worship God on Sunday, the first day of the week. My wife and I made a commitment years ago that we are going to serve God and we're going to go to church every Sunday as well as we can, even on holidays if there's some way we can do it. Now we have our church on live stream. So sometimes we get a little lazy and go, oh, let's just sleep in and watch the live stream at our church in Canada when we're on holidays. Putting God first every day, getting up with your devotions, putting God first every week with your putting God first on the first day of the week. You know, a couple of scriptures, people say, well, why do we worship God on Sunday rather than Saturday? The Bible says Jesus rose up from the dead on the eighth day or the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Both are all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all say Jesus rose on the first day. The New Testament church started worshiping God on Sunday because the Old Testament, they worshiped on the Sabbath. But Jesus came and he finished everything to do with the law. And he started a new beginning on the first day of the week. John chapter 20, when it was evening on the first day of the week, the doors were shut and the disciples were worshiping God for fear of the Jews. They were hiding. And I love this. On the first day of the week, want to have a good church service? The doors are locked. The disciples are in fear. On the first day of the week, Jesus walks through the wall and shows up in the meeting going, hello. Is it? I just love Jesus. He just tormented those disciples sometimes. Walks through the walls. Boo. You know, the Bible says Jesus was the most joyous person that ever lived on this planet. Hebrews chapter 1:9. He was joyous. Jesus wasn't some sad person walking around with an 80. There's this one Jesus movie when Jesus was walking with disciples and they were having a drink and Jesus splashed the disciples in their faces they were drinking. I thought, that's my Jesus. Jesus was fun. In God's presence is fullness of joy. Jesus comes into your life, there's joy. Jesus came through the locked doors and stood in the midst of them and said, peace. Because they were probably scared. Ah! No, let's get peace. Good things happen on the Lord's Day. Even the Apostle John, last book of the Bible, says John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He was having communion with his Father on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. And Joshua 1:24 is a great verse that many of you have heard before about. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to encourage you to decide to attend church on the Lord's Day the rest of your life with your family. As long as you're, you know, people say, I don't want to force my kids to go to church. You know, I thank God, our kids loved going to church. I never had a problem with this. One time I kind of teased the kids, and I'm going, kids, I was up late. I had a bad night. I don't think we're going to go to church today. I was just kind of testing them. No, I can't. We got to get to kids' church because kids' church is doing something so fun. We were praying for the children's workers last night. You got some great children's workers, by the way. Tell them. Any of you got parents back there? Seriously. They're in a little room with, like, kids 5 to 10. It's quite a big age group to teach. There she is right there. We're bragging on you. Yeah, she's so focused up on kids, she didn't even hear me. Decide your family's going to serve the Lord the rest of your life. Hebrews 10:25 says, never forsake the gathering together of the Lord's people. Decide to read your Bible together. You know, our kids, right from the day they're born, we read, Connie and I read the Bible together every day. And it's fun because we now have something called an audio Bible. It's free on, Life. YouVersion. Thank you. YouVersion. You can just program it in. We had 2 chapters of Jeremiah and a chapter out of Matthew today, and we're just kind of reading through this. But growing up for years, we read Proverbs, a proverb, every morning. You know, the average proverb takes 3 minutes. Like, kids, shut the TV off for the 7 hours that you're watching every day average. You know, teenagers, what, 7 hours? Give God 3 minutes. And while you're woofing down your, what were you eating today? Frosted little wheat chunks with strawberries on, or what was they, blueberries? That's what we would do, and we would, you know, someone, whose turn is it to read today? And they'd read Proverbs chapter 3 on May the 3rd and Proverbs 4. And we just read Proverbs and give God 3 minutes. And, you know, our kids, people say, Brian, how did your kids turn out good? Jesus and a good mother. But we took our kids to church. When the church and the family and the school all work together, that's a good thing. But we decided to go to church on Sunday. It's Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's not golf day. It's not a holiday. It's the Lord's Day. And I said, kids, if you get in part of some school sports program, you got to play volleyball and hockey and stuff, I'm sorry, we're going to put the Lord first on the Lord's Day. And our kids didn't. They're all serving Jesus together. Other families, they turn Sunday into sports day, and I've watched them for 40 years, Steve. Those kids are not serving God today. Decide to have prayer in your family. Decide to put God first in your life, first in your marriage, first in your family, and God will reward you, especially as those little critters grow up. Man, their shoes cost a lot of money. Some of your kids, they don't want to go at Value Village either. They want the real, you know, they want the Nike whatever. Michael Jordan, yeah, what are they, $150? You know what? If we put God first, I believe he's got good shoes for your kids, good clothes for your kids, and you don't have to worry, even if you got 4 kids that are growing up. Hallelujah. Here's a little tougher one. I hope it doesn't get too quiet in this room. Put God first every morning. Put God first every week. Put God first with your money. Don't throw anything. Give God, the Bible says, the first part. That means before you pay the federal government and the CPP or the UI, put God first. Done it for 40 years. Give God the first part of your income. Here's a verse in 1 Corinthians. There's hundreds of verses, but this is one. On every Lord's Day, there it is, on the Lord's Day, each one should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for the offering. Come on the Lord's Day and give God the first part. And we've tithed, you know, the first time I remember when I was tithing, I sat beside this young boy who was about 10 years old. this family. There was no young people in the little church I went to when I started following Jesus. And this family kind of adopted me. I'm sitting beside this 10-year-old guy, and I heard the word tithe or tithe the first time. And I'm going, what, you know, I'm whispering. I said, what is that? He said, well, tithe is 10%. I said, well, I sold a cow this week for $200. That's how long ago I've been a Christian, $200. I said, God wants me to give $20 in the offering? Because, you know, we went with the church a couple times a year, and I saw my dad pull out a $1 bill, throw it in. Sometimes he was real generous, pull out a $5 bill, threw it in the offering. I thought that's what people do. We tip God, not even as good as a waitress. It's tithing. It's not tipping. So I'm stunned. I said, God wants me to give $20? I want that money. I'm a teenager. I want that money. 16 years old. Want to get a car. Want to get a girlfriend. Hallelujah. You know what? I had a goal when I turned 16. I was going to get my license. I was going to get a girlfriend. I was going to take her to the drive-in theater. I had it all planned out. Guess what happened when I got 16? I got saved. And the drive-in was torn down. God saved me from doing something stupid. So I'm there, and the offering bucket went past, and I didn't put the $20 in. I didn't hear anything the man was saying on stage. I'm going, $20, $20, $20, $20. Money was like an idol in my life. I didn't realize it. $20! And I'm talking to this boy through the whole service. This 10-year-old taught me how to tithe. I said, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. You've got to do it. Just do it. Just do it. God says he'll bless you if you do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. He probably said it 20 times. After the meeting, I'm just going, oh. I looked around for that usher. Came up to him and said, is it too late to put something in that bucket? No, no, no. I'll take it. Oh, it's so hard. And I put it in there. And I haven't stopped tithing in 40 years. Hallelujah. Something's cooking. Is it lunchtime almost? Guys, I want to encourage you. Everybody say this with me. Put God first. Every day. Every week. With your money. And if you put God first, he will give you all the food you need. All the food, all the clothes you need, and you'll never be thirsty. God will bless you. Is everything okay, Steve? Yeah. Barbecue smoke. Hallelujah. It's barbecue. Guys, you got to stay focused. Put God first right now. Put God first right now. Put God first also, my last point here. Put God first with every relationship of your life. Talking about dating. Put God first. You know what I tell young people to do? Who's got a Bible? Anybody got a Bible? You always bring Bibles with your iPhones, no? I'm going to give you some dating tips. You go on a date, you take your Bible. Listen, I learned something. If you don't start praying and reading your Bible when you're dating, you probably never will after you're married. And so some guy to ask you, and so you just bring your Bible. And you put that Bible between him and you. And it will be hard for him to get over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to do something he shouldn't do. I'm teaching you, Jess. God first in every relationship. You know, we're called as Christians to reach out and love everyone. Jesus loved the prostitutes and the sinner, the used car salesman. He loved them all. All the crooks of the night. If you're a salesman, I'm just joking with you. Don't cheat people. Put God first with every relationship. You put God first in all these different things, and I guarantee you on the promises of God, Jesus himself said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, he will give you clothes, he'll give you food, he'll give you enough, you will never have to drink, have to be thirsty ever again. This is a great message. I preach it over in Africa. People putting God first is the number one way of getting out of poverty. It really is. If some of you here today have never given your life to Jesus, we're just going to bow our heads and I'm going to invite you just to slip up your hand. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. But I just want to help you get started on this God-first lifestyle. you know, Jesus can forgive us of all of our sins. We've all messed up. We've all made terrible mistakes in our past. God wants to forgive us, and he can help us get on the right pathway of the God-first lifestyle. Can we just bow our heads and pray today? Lord, I thank you, even as I recount my story, how you saved me miraculously at age 16, Lord, and how I've just tried my best to put you first, Lord, and I just want to pause and thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God and how you've loved me, you forgave me, you're holding my hand and leading me to a glorious future. You are such a great God. Lord, would you help us to love you with all of our hearts, all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, to put you first every day, get up and just read the Bible and talk to you, creator of the universe, to come and worship you every Sunday as much as humanly possible with our family, to put you first and to trust you with our finances, Lord, just giving you 10%, then you promise we'll never be hungry, we'll never be thirsty, we'll have everything we need because our Heavenly Father, you know everything we need. Thank you for your promises, Lord. Just with your heads bowed still, is there anybody here today? You've never given your life to Jesus. You're not sure if you died today you'd go to heaven, or you need to come back to God. Again, I'm not going to embarrass you at all. Just slip up your hand quick, and we're just going to say a corporate prayer to close this meeting off. If you need Jesus in your life, you need to know for sure you're going to heaven. You'll need to come back to God. Can you just put up your hand? 1, 2, 3. Just put it up right now. I need God. I need his forgiveness. I need to give my life to Jesus. Just put it up. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Lord. Can we pray this prayer, everybody? Nice and loud. Lord Jesus, I decide today to live for you. Forgive me for falling short, for making mistakes, but today I put you number one in my life to serve you, to seek you, and Lord, I invite you to lead me on the greatest adventure of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I've enjoyed being here. I'll come back anytime Pastor Steve invites me. I'll never say no. You guys are wonderful people. Thank you, Lord. I'll be at the book table, or I have a book back there, but other things for the Home of Hope if you want to sponsor a child or a feeding program. And Craig has a question. But